Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show four exciting and highly talented players of the game. It's always a pleasure to welcome back that multi-talented person, great performer, comedian, writer, and now, of course, film director, that is Stephen Fry. And sitting beside him on my right is some multi-talented person in many other directions, a successful restaurateur, a successful politician, a successful writer, and also very successful for many years on Just a Minute. That is Clement Freud. And sitting on my left, we have one of Britain's most popular and most loved comedians, who can be quite outstanding in quotations and sometimes quite outrageous. That is Julian Clary. And beside him, there's another comedian and stand-up performer and also talented writer in every direction, and that is Tony Hawks. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual in this game, I'm going to ask them all to speak at some different time, if they can, on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst. She's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from that magnificent Old Vic Theatre in the Waterloo area of London. It's packed to the rafters. The gallery's full as well. But they have come from all parts of this great capital city to cheer us on our way and enjoy themselves as we start the show with Tony Hawks. Tony, the subject I have in front of me is why I'd never rely on a single source. Oh, the topicality's got you already, hasn't it? Tony, will you talk on that subject? 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I consulted all my intelligence sources before coming on this show. I had Stephen, Clement, and the very lovely Julian checked to see if they were carrying weapons of mass destruction, and none were found. But we will...
Who's that? That can't be that name there.
Stephen.
Oh, that's Stephen. Right. Anyway, Stephen...
I should get booed and hissed for this, because it's a small pedantic point, but he said he had us checked for weapons of mass destruction and none were found. This is deviation from English grammar. It should be none was found. I told you. Ooh. I'm keeping my end up for the Radio 4 listener who cares about this kind of thing.
Stephen, as legitimately there's one sense it was a correct challenge, we give you a point for that. But Tony, a point to you for that. You keep the subject, and there are 46 seconds available. Why I'd never rely on a single source, starting now.
Unlike our senior politicians of the day, I would never rely on a single intelligence source.
Stephen, you
I'm afraid it's a repetition of intelligence.
Yes, you had intelligence before.
It's true.
It was a long time ago, but I did watch it. So, Stephen, you've got in there. You've got 40 seconds. You tell us something about why I'd never rely on a single source, starting now.
Well, when the Recette de Cuisine and cooking books of the world... Look, it's a stammer, all right?
Clement Freud, you challenge. Yes.
Hesitation.
I call that hesitation, yes. So you take over the subject. And there are 37 seconds. Why I'd never rely on a single source, starting now.
Brand, said the king, this source is A1. And so it has remained to this day. This was a label on a bottle of rather unpleasant brown liquid, which people poured over chops and steaks. And looking at that, I always wondered whether His Majesty was at that time sane or not. 1760 to 1820 is a long time for one monarch to...
Stephen, you challenge again.
One monarch and we had A1.
Yes, right.
Two so. Ones. I mean business now.
Business. 10 seconds. Lord. Why I'd never rely on a single sauce, starting now.
We have béarnaise and hollandaise and sauce tartare, which some say was invented by Auguste Escoffier, though history is divided on the subject. There are so many to choose from, it would be absurd to rely on a single sauce.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Stephen Fry, and he's got more points than anybody else at the end of that round. And Julian Clare is yet to speak, so let him take the next round. Julian, the subject is stag nights.
Thank you, God.
It's playing into your hands, is it right? Stag night, Stuart, in 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, of course, for me, every night is a stag event. For the dreary, lonely, heterosexual, it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But imagine the scene every Friday, Saturday or Sunday when I troll around the streets with 15 or 20 burly young men, and if I'm not chained to a lamppost naked by the end of the evening, then there's going to be a lot of questions asked. Last Friday week, I...
Two Fridays. The world I'll hand it back to you, right, because I'm
talking about Friday, Saturday, and
Sunday. And you were there as well.
That's.
Right, so Stephen, a correct challenge, or a heat of Friday. Stag Nights is with you, and you have 37 seconds starting now.
Usually pretty grim events, aren't they? The poor groom is made to feel extremely drunk and to ingest all kinds of disgusting cocktails, huge quarts of.
Tony challenge.
I think there was hesitation.
You were right. Yes, of that ingestion. There was a hesitation. 29 seconds are still available, Tony Hawks. You tell us something about Stag Night starting now.
My friend Trevor is the proud owner of a Triumph Stag. And every Thursday evening, he invites some of his chums round for what he calls a Stag Night. And it's so enjoyable, he whips up his bonnet, and in we look and see the workings of this magnificent vehicle. Sometimes we'll have a drink, but that's not absolutely necessary. In that sense, it differs from the traditional Stag Night, of which...
Julian challenge.
Well, he's repeated night, and it's nights in his Stag
You're
Nights.
Well, listen, yes. Oh.
And they call me a pedant.
It is the rules audience, by the way. So, yes, he did repeat the word night, and it's Stag Nights is the subject. So, Julian, you've got him with 5 seconds to go on Stag Nights, starting now.
I've just got off a flight from New York where there were hundreds of...
Clement challenge.
He got off a flight from Mallorca.
Well, he can say that he got off a flight from New York.
In that case...
Trying to make it sound more glamorous.
In that case, he's a liar.
It's not against the rules, is it?
It's not against the rules to go off. He just got off a flight from New York.
Which, what flight did you just get off?
It was Mallorca.
Well, yeah.
It sounds very similar, Mallorca and New Yorker.
No, I was just trying to play fair within the rules of Just a Minute and fair within the... We do happen to know that you did get off a flight from Mallorca.
Well, we're not sure now, are we?
Yeah, I may have been lying earlier on.
Yeah, I think I give you the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you.
1 second, Julian, on Stag Nights, starting now.
There were 35.
So, Julian Carey speaking as the whistle went, gaining that extra point. He's 1 point behind our leader, Stephen Fry, and then it's Tony Hawks and Clement Freud. And Stephen Fry, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is My Nastiest Habit.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell us... Have we seen it about grammar, or is it another one? 60 seconds starting now.
Pedantry on an almost industrial scale has got to be one of my nastiest habits. I suppose a loving for grammar and a desire for things to be expressed correctly may be seen as a nasty habit.
Julian challenged.
Not particularly nasty.
No, maybe. Maybe seen.
No, he did put a maybe in.
It may be. I said, I suppose it may be, because I agree, it's a lovely habit.
Yeah, yes. No, but it's still my nastiest habit with you, Stephen, and I can't read this watch at the moment. 51 seconds, starting now.
One of my nastiest habits is...
Hello, Clement.
There was a very long delay.
Was it?
It was. I never know if it's my fault or not, because I said I couldn't read the watch. Yes, it was 2 seconds, actually, Stephen.
Heavens, that's
not good. Yes, quite surprising. Well, in this show, it's a long time. Yeah. Clement, you have another point. You have my nastiest habit, starting now.
The extraordinary thing is that I have no nasty habits, therefore no nastier, let alone nastiest habits. When I...
Tony challenge.
Yes, it's impossible for him to carry on without deviating. The subject is my nastiest habit, and he cannot speak on that because he hasn't got one.
Right.
Therefore, I'm saving him the embarrassment of deviating in a second from now. Why not let's just get it all out of the way now?
Really, what we call that a psychic challenge, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Predictive.
But I think he hasn't deviated yet.
Okay.
I can give you a real challenge then.
Right.
Well, just based on what we said earlier, he said habits twice, and it's habit on the card.
I noticed that as well. Yeah. You can save it if you want to.
if you want me to.
You can still come in on it. There's 41 seconds. My nastiest habit, Clement, starting now.
If I were to say.
You've challenged it.
Yeah. He said in his earlier tranche, he said habits twice.
He did say habits twice. Well done. Stevens was a correct challenge. He has my nastiest habit, and he has 40 seconds starting now.
As a child, I picked my nose and ate the matter therefrom, and some people considered it extremely nasty. I thought it was delicious, and I'm afraid I found it very hard to apologise. It's a natural thing to
do. Tony challenged.
I think there was a repetition of found in there.
Yes.
Oh, well done.
Yes. Yeah. What you found there.
Patronising is another one I'm bad at.
Right, having told us the nasty... Right, my nastiest habit's with you, Tony, and you have 32 seconds starting now.
My nastiest habit is singing in the car, which I deliberately do to annoy the other passengers. Roxanne is an example of the kind of thing I can just throw in when we're at traffic lights, causing people to become tearful, upset, suicidal in some...
Julian's challenge.
Do we have two people? Did he say people twice? Oh, it's passengers, was it?
Passengers.
Yeah. Oh, hush my mouth. Edit that bit out.
Right. 15 seconds. Still with you, Tony. My nastiest habit, starting now.
On the M25, I will sometimes go...
I think we did have sometimes in the
you
previous
did have
thing,
sometimes
definitely.
Before,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Probably, well, yeah. Listen, Stephen, you've got in now at last. 12 seconds, my nastiest habit, starting now.
Impatience, I suppose, cannot be considered.
Clement challenge. Oh,
he's already supposed.
Always supposing, isn't it? It's yes. True, thank you. You've got to cure me of that. Yes. It's just yes. Awful.
10 seconds for you, Clement, on my nastiest habit starting now.
A Dominican monk gave me a garment which has got to be my nastiest habit. It has soup stains down the front. It has old bits of Marmite.
Well, Clement Croy justifiably got a very strong round of applause. Then he's got another point for speaking the whistle. Went. He's 2 points behind our leader, Stephen Fry, and 2 points ahead of Tony Hawks and Julian Clary. And, Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is bright young things. Tony, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Quite why I was overlooked as the male lead in Bright Young Things, the movie that was made recently, is something I hope to take up with the director if I ever get the chance to find out who that was. Not long ago, I was deeply disappointed to be invited on a show called Grumpy Old Men. And I believed I should have been asked onto one called Bright Young Things because I am bright, I'm relatively young, if you compare me with the oldest man in the world, who's something in the region of 117 years old, and I have a thing. A fine one, which I polish on a regular basis, Thursday or Friday evenings, usually set aside for that task.
Clement challenge.
He repeated old. I let him go on a bit because I haven't got much to say.
Yes, you did repeat old, Tony. So, Clement, a correct challenge. 18 seconds. Bright young things starting now.
Being a bright young thing is very much in the eyes of the beholder. I personally use a stair lift and a walk-in bath, and bright young things in general are to be found like Dame Thora Hearn, the late lamented, waving as they disappear.
So, Clement's making a late surge. He's got another point. Speaking's whistle went. He's now equal with Stephen Fry in the lead, and the other two are just behind him. And Julian Clary, your turn to begin. The subject now is how I usually spend Sundays. Will you talk on that subject starting now?
I usually spend Sundays on my knees, which doesn't particularly make it any different from any other day of the week. But then I nip home, I open the oven, and I prod the joint. You take a great big fork out of a drawer, and you just get on with it. Then I might have some friends round for a pleasant soiree. Could be compared to a stag night, but it's not necessarily an all-male event, if you know what I'm saying. And then perhaps I'll turn...
Tony challenge.
Well, actually, I thought he was going to hesitate, but then I think he recovered at the last minute, so I'd like to withdraw my challenge.
Well, he did recover at the last
yes,
minute.
Yes, it was almost like skillfully dummying a hesitation. I didn't realise he was quite so proficient.
Maybe you were predicting again.
Yes, possibly.
Right.
But the fact is he was interrupted, so he gets a point yes. for that. And, Julian, you carry on with 35 seconds to go on how I usually spend Sundays starting now.
Last Sunday, I was performing at the Birmingham Hippodrome, and I had awful food poisoning, and someone had to stand in the wings with a bucket, and I would rush off between each scene and do what came naturally. That's not a usual way to spend a Sunday, but that's what I found I was doing. It was our final performance, and at the end, the crowd stood up and roared. I don't know why, because I hadn't been at my best. I was rather pale and pasty. But way up in the wings, up at the top of the theatre, I could see my mother winking at me.
Tony Jones.
I want to hear more about how he usually spends his Sundays. And less about this one specific Sunday.
Well, I had been in the show for 6 weeks, so that had been my usual Sunday routine.
No, that was a correct challenge, because you were talking once about one specific Sunday and not how I usually spend Sundays. You don't usually spend Sundays being sick like that. And,
That's for me to know.
Just because you're partisan, I still have the rules to interpret. And Tony, your challenge was correct. That was deviation. So you take how I usually spend Sundays, and you have 5 seconds starting now.
I usually spend Sundays in the audience at the Birmingham Hippodrome, where I love watching Julian.
So Tony Hawks was speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. He's now moved forward. He's only two behind Clement Freud and Stephen Fry, our two leaders. Julian's just behind him. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject now, the importance of art. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I don't think art, which is a diminutive of Arthur, is particularly important. I believe that man to be genuinely second rate, as are Bernard Charles David Eric Francis George.
Stephen Charles.
I believe we have a rule against listing.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Oh, don't you?
No.
Oh, I always thought there was.
You could have two extra points.
No.
Hello.
So, an incorrect challenge. All right. Clement, another point to you. 46 seconds on the importance of art, starting now.
The importance of art when it comes to listing is really pretty, pretty important.
Oh, it's a tough game. Yes, Tony, you were first to challenge.
How many years have you been playing this game? I love it when people repeat things consecutively. It makes it always...
Right, the importance of art is with you, Tony, and there are 41 seconds starting now.
Paul Simon would have felt that the importance of art was something that mattered to him, as Simon and Garfunkel would never have operated, obviously.
Stephen.
Double Simon, I think.
Yes. Two Simons. Yes. So we have the importance of art with you, Stephen. 33 seconds available, starting now.
There's a paradox at the heart of this. Wine, love and art are all absolutely unnecessary to the furtherance of the human spirit, and yet, therefore, somehow, are the most important things we have. It's the necessities. Hello?
Tony Challenge.
Was there a repetition of important?
No, importance was in before. Wasn't it an important then?
Yeah. Right, OK.
Yeah. Someone in the audience disagrees. Someone in the audience wants me out of that.
Right. 23 seconds. Another point to you, Stephen. The importance of art.
It's
starting
a kind
out.
Of spiritual food, I suppose you'd call it, without which... Hello?
Clement Challenge.
Supposing, again...
I hadn't said it this long ago, well, had I? Do I always say it all the time?
All the time.
Do we just sort of... We suppose that I've said it always, and it just... If I say it once, it counts as a repetition. Is that the idea?
If you repeat suppose, then there's just a repetition, yes.
Yes.
So Clement
but
was
from the previous round? Or had I said it in that round as well?
I can't be sure, actually. That's why I'll be quite honest. I was listening for other things. I think he did say, didn't he, Clement?
You think he did, didn't he, Clement? You ask the man who benefits from the point.
Right.
No, we don't.
I know.
Thank you, audience.
Right. Stephen, you still have the subject. And. You see, you're the most fickle audience. One minute you wanted Stephen not to have the subject, and now you want him to have it. So the importance of art is with you, Stephen. 20 seconds, starting now.
It is my supposition that art has the greatest possible importance in human life. It gives a dimension, a depth, and a spirituality to all our commerce, trade, and doings generally. Without it, it seems to me we are lost, sunk, and desolated forever. Art, it is, after all, that makes life beautiful, and without... Hello?
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of life.
Oh.
Life, yes.
Yeah, I think I've
had you mention life before, definitely. And there are 2 seconds you've got in cleverly with 2 seconds to go, Tony. I know, it's a tough game. The importance of art with you, Tony, starting now.
Like a bridge over troubled water.
Right. So Tony's moving forward rapidly with that extra point, as well as helped, of course. So he's now equal in second place with Clement Freud. They're both 2 points behind Stephen Fry and 3 or 4 points ahead of Julian Clary. And Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Dog Days. Tell us something about Dog Days in this game, starting now.
If it's raining cats and dogs and a dog falls on your head, the chances are you'll be knocked unconscious and into a daze, which you could argue is something of a dog daze, if you were a pedant. The trouble is you'd have to talk for quite some time afterwards on that subject within just a minute if you were playing that game when you brought it up, which is, interestingly, what's just happened to me. Now, dog days should be introduced on Thursdays, in my view. We should all get together with our dogs, chat to them, bond in any way we can, because, to be honest, human beings don't work hard enough in this general area. And what better day of the week to do it? The day between Wednesday and...
Julian challenged.
We had 2 days.
Yes.
Yes, right, we did indeed, Julian. So you're in there on dog days. What's the matter? Janet's telling me something. What's that, love? Oh, yes, dog days is... Ah, but he did say dogs twice, and it's dog days on the card.
And he said day, not
day. He said day as a singular, he said twice.
He said day as a singular. Yes. Sorry, Janet, he said
and
day
as
a singular.
And he's not wearing a tie.
No. So it's a correct challenge anyway, Julian. 21 seconds, dog days starting now.
I've got a delightful dog called Valerie, who you may have seen on Celebrity Challenge programme that I did recently. So every day for me is a dog day, which is not a negative...
Tony challenged.
Well, he's done exactly what he buzzed me for.
No, he hasn't. He said dog, which is singular, which is on the card. You said day as singular. It should have been days.
It should have been days.
He said day twice. That's what I'm buzzing him for.
Shall repetition we listen to the joke?
Oh, did he? Yes. Well, in that case, you're right.
Yes, listen to the joke. Well done.
Steve,
Janet, that's a point to point to Tony.
Would you like to take over? I'm quite happy to do IQ for you.
Yes, I'm not. Go on.
Right. No, I'm afraid he's got you on the same thing that you got him on. Dog days is the subject. Tony, 11 seconds. Dog days starting now.
Dog days afternoon was not a film, but I couldn't say the correct title or I would have...
Clement challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid we call that hesitation, a stumble. 6 seconds, Clement. Dog days starting now.
If you're an aficionado of greyhound racing, Wembley, Wimbledon, Hendon, Slough...
That small list kept him going to the whistle and an extra point, and therefore he's increased his lead. He's 3 ahead of Stephen Fry now and 4 or 5 ahead of Tony Hawks. And Julian, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is the nation's favourite. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The nation's favourite TV star of the moment is probably Jordan, who I had the pleasure of meeting recently at a club called China White. I took her back to my place and gave her a good going over, and then I chucked her out. The nation's favourite food is probably chips, and the nation's favourite sexual position is over the breakfast bar, apart from in Wales, where it's over the paddock gate.
Tony Challenge.
I thought I'd better stop him before we come off the air in Wales. Though there was a repetition of over.
Yes, he did go over a bit too much.
Yeah.
You're telling me.
I think he's gone over the top, actually.
Yes.
And we hope it's sustainable and people, a lot of nice-minded people, won't understand what he was talking about. And but nobody really is like that nowadays, are they? Right. You all knew, didn't you? Right. Tony, 38 seconds, the nation's favourite, starting now.
Take yourself back to the 70s. Norwich, a magnificent television show called Sale of the Century. Who is the nation's favourite? None other than the assistant to Nicholas Parsons, who presented that show. How she was adored up and down this land as she strutted around in rather a loose-fitting top, if I remember rightly. I was only a wee thing at the time. Mind you, I've grown, but that's something else we don't need to go into. Now, Nicholas, who I've said...
Ah, you are sweet to do that. Oh, what did they mention, Nicholas? Clement, yes.
Repetition of Nicholas.
Yes, I know, isn't it? So, Clement, 9 seconds, the nation's favourite, starting now.
I think usually politicians like... Attlee, Churchill, Macmillan. But not always. Rugby, footballers, cricketers.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I've just got a message to say we're moving into the final round. Mm. Let me give you the scores. We do so. Clement Freud, with that extra point, I should say, at the end of the round, has gone forward. He's 4 ahead of Stephen Fry and 5 ahead of Tony Hawks and even more ahead of Julian Clary. And Stephen, it's your turn to begin, and the subject, very apt for the time of which we're recording this, Valentine's Day. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
On 2122 North Clark Street in the south side of Chicago on the 14th of February, St. Valentine's Day, there was a famous massacre enacted by Al Capone, the great bootlegger and...
it's only a challenge.
I think it was a hesitation.
I think
yeah,
was,
I think
yes.
It probably was.
I think it was, yes. 50 seconds for you, Tony, on Valentine's Day, starting now.
Valentine, the patron saint of florists and restaurateurs. Because let's face it, you have to go out on those days. You cannot remain at home with your loved one or she, or indeed he.
Stephen.
Well, there was a sort of mess with you, as you call that.
If he can have you for a hesitation, a similar one comes up for him. And Stephen, you have 35 seconds. The subject is Valentine's Day, and you start now.
The hagiographies, or Fox's Books of Martyrs as well, only list 3 saints called Valentine. They were different. They were all martyred.
Tony Challenge.
What does scald mean?
Scald?
No, it was an elision of words. It's the thing the French indulge in, and we don't usually do it, but yes. I'll let him have it for the benefit of the doubt on this occasion, and say, 26 seconds, Valentine's Day, with you, Stephen, starting now.
But it's generally considered that because around the time of the middle of the second month of the year, birds pair off, and that's where Chaucer, in his great book, The Parliament of Fowls, described this time as one for lovers, for romance, which we have, since the Middle Ages, associated with those who adore each other, in the exchange of tokens and cards and gifts and things of that nature. However, I don't subscribe to this great hallmark resurrection of the holiday, if you can call it that, which of course you can't.
So Stephen Fry, with that final surge, kept going till the whistle went and gained an extra point for doing so with other points in the round. Let me give you the final situation. Julian Clary, who always gives incredible value in the show, finished only just in fourth place. A very, very strong fourth place. Tony Hawks, who's always great as well, was very close to the leaders and he was in third place. And what has happened, I think, a very fair result, because they've both contributed so much. Clement Freud and Stephen Fry have finished up equal, so we let's say they are the winners this week. Right, thank you. Thank you, thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 fine players of the game, Stephen Fry, Julian Clary, Tony Hawks and Clement Freud. Also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown her whistle with great delicacy. And we thank our producer, Chris Neal, and we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're also indebted to this lovely audience here in the Old Vic Theatre down in the Waterloo area of London, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. They seem to have enjoyed themselves. We've enjoyed ourselves. So from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, Andy Byrne, thank you. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And next week, Just a Minute will come from Warwick University, where Nicholas Parsons is joined by Clement Freud, Linda Smith, Ross Noble, and Graham Norton.